Father, we just thank you that we can come together this morning. We call upon your Holy Spirit to minister to us, to open our minds, and to touch our hearts. Lord, let the true set us free and enable us to appropriate and receive everything that you have for us. Just let our mind, Lord, catch up with your truth. So, Lord, that we may be willing to be obedient to you and to receive from you all the blessings that you have prepared for your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said before, I'm going to be starting a new series if Jesus comes as a follow-up of what I was talking about before. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit. I've been talking about being receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And really, the natural development from there is understanding the authority that we have as believers and to exercise that authority. Because you can have things and you don't know about what you have. It doesn't do any good to you. You can be starving to death if you don't know that you have money in the bank, because you don't buy your food. It's true physically, it's true spiritually. If you don't know what is yours, how can you use it? How can you appropriate that? But there is another thing. It's not just a question of knowing. I mean, you can know that you have the money in the bank and you don't go and take it out. Well, even in that case, you can starve to death. So, and this is even more true spiritually. I mean, you may know that you have authority, but you never exercise that authority when it's the time to exercise that authority. It doesn't do any good. Because it's only when you use what you have that is going to produce fruit, is going to have an impact on you. You're still there. So the idea, the understanding that we need to have is that we have to know the Word. We have to know what God has made up possible for us. But just knowing it is not enough. What we have to do is to start using what God has given us, because He expects us to do so. He's not used to have everything that He has done for us. And He said in His Word that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do we really believe that? Do we really feel that way? Or we are still there feeling that we need something new for Him to do so that we have what we have, what we need? One of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they shall be what? Filled. So, is a good, what is the blessing? Hello? That's right. It's not to be poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is a starting point, but it's not the end. You see, when we are filled, you are not anymore poor in spirit, because you have been filled. You know, sometimes we stress the wrong thing instead of stressing the result of what we should be having and experiencing. So we need to be there seeking God all the time when we already have the things that God has given us. And we have to use the things that we have, because otherwise we are never going to see the manifestation that you want to have in our lives. See, when are you saved? When you are seeking God to save you, or when you start believing and accepting the fact that He has saved you already? When are you filled with the Holy Spirit? When you are seeking there to be filled, or when you start manifesting it and you know that it's there because you are speaking in tongues? Or whatever it is. When you need healing, you know you're there because you are healed, or because you are there seeking to be healed. And all these truths are parallel. It's the same thing that happens for all these different areas, because spiritual things, spiritual principles will apply for all these different things. Are you following me? See, God has done it. Jesus on the cross got the victory, and we have the victory as a result of that. When we understand what he has achieved there, and that his job is finished, as he said, and he is now at the right hand of the Father, which means something, wouldn't you say? Then we start being in the position of accepting those principles, those truths, and start living according to them, and start living according to religion. Now, one of the things that we need to appropriate and understand as believers is the authority that we have. And to start to have that, we need to start understanding what that means. It's true that not many believers exercise the authority they have. They don't even know that they have authority. Now, even before Jesus died, in Luke chapter 9, verse 2 says, you know, that he sent them, the disciples, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus had authority. And you can see the way he operated all his life. What he did is to preach the kingdom. That's where the authority comes from. Okay? This is where the authority, this is a spiritual authority that is there, that is greater than any physical authority that we have down here. But he already had delegated that authority to the disciples to go and preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. So that authority was already manifested then. That delegation was already taking place at that time. But now it's different, and it's much better than then. If they got results, we should get better results. But, you know, it has to start at a place in which we believe that. If we don't believe that, if you think that you had to do, that you had to pray a certain number of hours before you get anything, well, you're going to pray a certain number of hours, and maybe even after you think that you had to pray another so many hours. I mean, when is it going to stop? You either have it, or you don't have it. And the word says, you have it. But you have to agree with the word. You have to agree not at the mind level and say, well, yeah, that's good theology. Your theology doesn't count. It's what your heart believes that counts. I mean, you can have all the theology straight. You know, you can have your theology messed up and you have power in God, to God anyway. Because you just believe it. See, God doesn't look at your theology. Doesn't look at your thinking. God looks at your heart. That's what the word says. Sometimes we look at people and we look at their theology and we start saying, well, you know, criticizing and putting them down, when instead we should be looking at the results that they make. Jesus didn't say, you go and check their theology. Do you remember the scripture? By the fruit, you shall know them. The fruit is not theology, it's results. And we have to look at our own results. Sometimes the wrong ideas are there and they're messing up things, as our sister was sharing before. So the idea is that the more we are open to the truth of the Word of God, and the more we are going to be manifesting what God said we should manifest in our life. The more we should be evident the fact that we know the truth and the truth has set us free. It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. It's simple. And we make it far too complicated. It's a heart thing, not an intellectual mind thing. Praise the Lord. As I said before, that he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Healing the sick is nothing else than a manifestation of the kingdom of God coming down here. Jesus said, pray that his kingdom come. Well, if we start showing the kingdom that is here now, that's what Jesus did through his miracles. It wasn't because trying to prove that he was the Son of God. He didn't need to prove anything. It's because he had compassion and he manifested God's kingdom and he healed the sick. Now, God has a plan. And he has a plan that is going to be manifested. If we agree with it or not, if we are going to go along with it or not, it's going to happen to anyway, but he's not controlling people in this work. He leaves us free to choose what we do. But he has faith in us. God works everything by faith. And he wanted to look at the world and says, how can he have faith in us? Well, evidently he knows better. He has faith in us to the point to choose to work through us to implement his plan and to do it by our free will. We are not puppet in the hand of God. We can choose what we do. We can choose to obey him or we can choose to go to hell. It's our choice that he respects. No matter what some of the theologian says. He respects, and this is how he rewards us. Because we choose the right thing. Otherwise, would mean nothing to reward us. He has a plan for each one of us, but if the plan is going to be happening or not, depends on us. Now, when he gave the Great Commission, he said something, and I am going back on that all the time, and I started with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just the result of the Great Commission. I'm going to read it again because I want to stress some other things here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, this is the starting point, that he has all authority. Therefore, says, go therefore and make disciples. You see, the things that, this authority that he has, he passed on to us, is the authority that he has that we have today, is we are his disciples. We have to understand that what it means that with that, those words. We have to understand the implication of those words. We have to understand that the impact of that statement that Jesus made has on us in terms of the responsibility that has called us to do certain things. He has given us his authority so that we can carry out his ministry, not our ministry. We are his body today here. He fills every believer with his spirit. And this is why, after saying those things, he said, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Because it's a new dimension of him. And make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. It's not a question of just one day making a decision. It's a question of following his direction, following his commandments, following the things that he said we should do, so that because we understand and we agree with it, what he is and what he does. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or the end of the days. So you see, he's going to be with us. What does it mean that he's going to be with us? See, his presence, his authority. That authority that is given us is going to be with us till the end. Now we can do something with it, or we can do nothing with it. But the fact is, it makes a big difference in the terms of results we are going to get. God had the faith, and Jesus had the faith to believe in us that we could accomplish his job, to complete, to finish what had to be done, to spread what he had done through us to others. In the New Testament, there is no separation between clergy and lay people. If you are a believer, you are called to do the Great Commission. This is man's organization that created different roles. Now, the body has different functions within the body. As is explained, for example, in Ephesians, in other places, there are different functions in the body. There are different things that need to be carried out. So you need are going to see that not everybody does the same thing. Not everybody has the same empowerment to do things. So each person, according to what they are being made, are going to be manifest in the things that are prepared for, that God has given them to do. So we are not all the same. Cookie cutter kind of, all the same, looking the same, doing the same thing. You have to see the way God made you and work supernaturally through the power of God in the areas that has given you. Through God's power. We don't need to work the way the world works. And we need to understand that we have the mandate through Jesus, the Great Commission, to exercise his authority, his power, in the areas that he specialized and given to us. In the Great Commission here in Matthew, explained one thing, but you have to take different scripture to see different aspects of it, what it really means. It's the fact that I will be with you always is expanded in Mark chapter 16. Verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, the same thing here. But now it expands more. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who will not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow, will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will speak in new tongues. Hello? They will take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing, by no means will hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Often we think that the only way a person is going to be healed when they have to have faith to receive. That doesn't say that. The scripture says that if we believe, they are going to be healed when we lay hands on the sick. Now, you don't need to be anybody to lay hands on you if you believe for yourself. But Jesus went around and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He didn't depend on their faith all the time. Sometimes they took it from him, like the woman with the issue of blood. That wasn't Jesus' faith that was operating. He didn't even know. The only thing, he was walking there and he felt the power going out of him and says, who touched me? It was a crowd pushing him around. Who touched me? Sure, they were bumping all the time. The thing is, he was talking about who really drew the power out of me. And so, her faith did it. There are many other places in the New Testament in which it showed that the faith of the person was the factor that determined the healing to take place. But we went around healing on everybody. Don't tell me everybody has faith. His faith was enough to compensate for all their faith that was lacking. The father with this epileptic son, help me for my faith. And you remember what happened in that situation. The apostles prayed for the child and couldn't be healed. And what was the response of Jesus? I mean, you can't expect that child. He didn't get mad with the child. They didn't have enough faith. He got mad with the disciples because he said to them, unbelieving generation, what should I do with you? So the idea is, was expecting the disciples to have the faith to heal the child. Because he had given them the authority to go and do the work. So the idea is simple here. Okay, let me continue these verses. And says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. That shows what really was taking place. He was taking a position of authority there. His authority given to us. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You see, that was the evidence. That was the manifestation of the authority that they had received, the fact that the signs were following. Now, that depends, evidently, on the fact that they exercised that authority. But you exercise the authority only on the things that you think you can do. I have to repeat that. You are going to be able to do only the things that you think you can do, that you believe you can do. Yes. Otherwise, you are not going to do it. I mean, if you don't believe that you can lay hands on the sick and they recover, you are not going to lay hands on the sick and they are not going to recover. Sometimes, even if you believe that you can do that, you believe only, you know, you agree with the theology, you pray for somebody and you get nothing. Why? Because it isn't going down to your heart, it's just up in your head. See, the believing, it doesn't happen on the mind level, has to be inside your heart to manifested in your life. And if it doesn't happen, that means you have some work to do. What work do you do? What Jesus said? You have a transformation that has to take place as the word starts changing you, starts changing your inside, starts changing your heart. And you have to get the word working in your life so that it's going to be manifested in you. The supernatural manifestation that took place when somebody is a believer is the result of the authority that's been given to him by Jesus. It's a sign that the kingdom is here now. There are some areas in which the Lord has given me faith to believe him about healing that, we get 90% success rate. I mean, that was a long time ago that the Lord worked through me in healing for pain. And then I kind of forgot it. Until some time ago, not long ago, the Lord brought it back to my memory and said, and he impressed on me, what are you doing? What are you not using that? And I opened up to the Spirit of God, and the thing started to be manifested. And you can see it happens here all the time. You know, people come up down here in pain, and they go away without pain. Why? Because I don't have any problem believing. I don't make any effort, but I don't have to try to believe. It's there. 3 weeks ago, I was sharing with you that the Lord was being on my case. about my lack of faith. And, well, it's still working. But one of the things that he was showing me is that how I was blocking him for in other areas, for other healing. And I was the problem. Because the manifestation should be there. And because of my poor interpretation of what he was trying to get across to me before, I only manifested part of what he had done. If you remember, the source of that was the first time that I got this. This guy was in pain because his angina is a problem with the heart. And was instantly healed. He was not even a believer. Okay? The point is what the Lord was trying to get across to me, that the problem with the guy was not pain. He had a heart problem. So why did I only believe for pain when the guy had a heart problem? See the way the Spirit works? Hello? So now I start believing that not just pain, but there's much more there. You have a heart problem? We're going to pray for you. What's the difference? You see, for God there is no difference. You can have an ingrown nail, or cancer, or heart problem, or headache, or a pimple in your nose. Doesn't make any difference. We make the difference with our silly thinking. Because we can grasp the dimension of the kingdom of God that is right, the power and the authority that comes with the kingdom that is given to us. It's not something that we can cook up or try to make it happen. It's the Spirit that is inside us that empowers us to carry out the Great Commission. We don't need to pray for people that are believers. They should receive it themselves. But if they need help, we can do that too. We need to pray for people that are not believers. Because that's the way they are going to come into the kingdom. You know, Jesus didn't pray on any born-again believers. I mean, they could not have been born-again believers because people can be born again only after he went to heaven. So I really think this is the job that we had to do. You know, that Mark chapter 15 doesn't say that we had to lay hands on your believers. It says that we had to lay hands on the sick. Praise the Lord. I really think that we've been starting with praying for people being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you feel fine, if you are not feel, get filled. It's not complicated. You just have to believe it. You have just to receive it. You have to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you and to show you the truth. We went through scriptures after scriptures after scripture to show that this is what God expects and that's what God wants to do. If you don't believe it yet, well, I can do very much about it. You can listen to the recordings. They are available to everybody. You can download them from the web. And actually, I'm thinking about going to prepare a course on that, that you can do it through the web. But that's only the beginning. We want to see people coming into the authority that Jesus has given them to minister healing and victory to anybody that they meet. To be spreading the kingdom of God, to start preaching about the kingdom of God. And this is not for just preachers, it's for everybody. It's not a question of getting somebody to say the sinner's prayer, it's a question of getting healed, and then they're going to need to say the sinner's prayer, they already have done that. It's not a formula. It's the position of the heart. If they know that the power of God is there, it's very difficult to change their mind. If they are healed and they know that they are dying or they have a big problem, and they get restored and they get energy, they get life, I'll tell you, I don't care what anybody comes to them and about talking theology, they believe. They had to believe. I want to see that happen. I want to see people to start exercising the authority that they have in ministering to people so that they can receive what God has done for them, what Jesus has achieved for them on the cross. The human mind, the reasoning mind says, oh, this is too nice, too good to be true. It's absolutely true, that thinking. It's too good to be true from a worldly point of view. But it's just the truth of the gospel. That's why it's called the gospel, the good news. Because it's too good to be true. Well, we're running out of time. I want to make a suggestion to you, and so that you get ready for next week. See, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is one of the best book to come into that authority. It's all about that. It's showing us our relationship with God, the relationship with the church, our relationship with our family, and finally our relationship with the world. And with the forces of darkness. So, but I'm not going to ask you to read the whole book of Ephesians. I'm going to ask you to start praying the prayers that Paul made in the book of Ephesians. And to do that every day. To be regular about doing that at least once a day. And not just repeating it as parrots, but thinking about what you are saying. And asking God to give you revelation on what you are saying. These are in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to verse 20. In Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14 to verse 19. Just take those verses and just read them, meditate on them, pray them for yourself. Now, after you prayed enough for yourself, I think you should learn to pray those verses for other people. But if you don't understand it for yourself, it doesn't do much good to do it for others. So my suggestion is that you take those scriptures and start feeding, meditating, thinking about them, stuffing yourself up with them until you know them. If you can memorize them, it's even better. Because in those verses, there is the seed for you to come into the power that of your authority. There are not many verses, but that's the starting point. That's the place in which you start feeding your heart and your spirit with the reality of the authority that you have received in Christ. So that's what you need to do. Oh, if you do it just one day, it doesn't do much. Revelation comes from meditating on the Word, for allowing the Word to grow inside you and to develop and to take roots there and to start producing changes in the way you think and the way you feel. when revelation comes to your heart, it's not a question of trying to reason things out. It's natural and spontaneous to do the right thing. And you have to allow that to happen inside you to be able to see it manifested. So, how many of you say, I'll do that? Good. I'll keep it to your word next week. Okay? I mean business. See, you cannot get anywhere with God if you don't mean business. I mean, you have to get fed up with the status quo to change in any area, even in the world. It's a spiritual principle. If you don't get fed up with what's happening today, you are not going to make the effort to be different. And the effort to be different, if you start feeding, you see, it's not the effort, you see, it's not behavior modification we are talking about. You leave that to the psychologist. This is power of the mind. We are talking heart change, which is effortless in the change. But there are things you have to do for it. And what you have to do is to meditate on the word. This is not effort in meditating, it's a question of choosing. You choose to believe something, you choose to believe that the word of God is going to make a difference in you. And so you act accordingly. When you start meditating on the word of God, you exercise your faith in the fact that you believe that it's going to produce results. Why people don't pray? They don't pray because they think that them doesn't make any difference. If they would believe that makes a difference, they would be praying all the time. The point is, when your experience is that when you pray, nothing happens, after a while you give up praying. Let's be honest. What for? Wasting your time? You have other things to do that produce result. The fact is that when you start praying the right way, when you start exercising your authority, you're going to get results, and then you're going to be motivated to pray. Amen? So, let's pray. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's a path that we choose to follow. We thank you for it. We open our heart to it. We are going to go to it in the coming days, believing, trusting it, depending on it, opening ourselves up to it, to see it producing results in us, to change us, to empower us, to give us revelation, understanding, power, and authority. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So please do it. For your own good, not mine. Okay? When we do things together, things work even better. Because there is a collective effort in a direction. So, if you cannot be, this is going to be on recording, it's going to be on the net sometime soon this week. So, if you need to listen to it again, listen to it again. See, it's repetition that gets into the heart. That's the way it worked for me before. And I had to keep repeating the same thing over and over again in certain areas so that I can push forward. And you have to do the same.